Welcome to Westview Community Church. Happy Father's Day. My name is Brian Smith, our guest. I'm our lead pastor here, and I hope you're enjoying these last few days of spring. Okay, let's get real. Spring lasted May 3rd from about 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., right? And it's been summer ever since. But it is good to see your sunny faces, and so I'd ask that you stand up and just take a second and make sure everybody in this room feels welcome. So greet your neighbor here, and we'll get started here in just a second. Okay, as you mosey back to your seats, I want you to take your Bible out, and I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. The Gospel of Matthew is the first Gospel in the New Testament, the first book of the New Testament. It's about two-thirds of the way through the Bible, and we're going to be in chapter 7, starting about verse 21. While you're turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, I want to kind of set the stage. We have been in the Sermon on the Mount for the last 3 weeks, and what's going on in the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus is sitting on a hillside near Capernaum, and he's overlooking the beautiful Sea of Galilee, and he's got his 12 disciples there, but a whole crowd is gathered. He's probably teaching over multiple days. There's a lot of stuff here, and chapter 7, verse 21 is actually the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so what's happening here in this sermon is Jesus is wrapping up everything that he has shared over the last probably at least couple days. He's talked about being the salt and the light. He's talked about anger. He's talked about revenge. He's talked about holy sexuality. He's talked about divorce, helping others, praying, fasting, judging, giving, and all other kinds of stuff. And he's pulling it all together here at the end of chapter 7. He's wrapping it up. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, there is a central theme that whenever you're reading chapters 5, 6, or 7, that's the Sermon on the Mount, there's a central theme that God desires our heartfelt obedience. He wants our heart. He wants to be in relationship with us. And Jesus said, is talking about how that's really got us skewed, and he's going back to what it looks like to have heartfelt obedience. And what's really interesting here in chapter 7 at verse 21 as he summarizes everything, saying, you are about to walk off this hillside right now. And he tells everybody, after hearing everything I've said, you have two responses. So what we're going to do is share. He actually told this in story, but he wrapped up everything. It's kind of like the end of a Promise Keepers conference or a women's conference. It's like the last speaker, and he's like going, very important, when you walk off this hill today, that you can go one of two directions with everything I've said. And so let's read that together in Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. This is how Jesus summarizes all that time together. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, Jesus continues, "Everyone who hears these words of mine over these last 2 days and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine over the last couple days and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. That is the word of God. So let's break down here what Jesus was saying here. This is how he wrapped up the Sermon on the Mount. And what's interesting is we get into verses 21 through 23, Jesus tells them very plainly, after speaking to you for 2 days, not everyone who professes to know me will enter heaven. He actually says not everyone. He says not only those who profess to know me, he says those who are actually doing pretty big things like prophesying in my name, doing miracles in my name. And he uses the word many, many will not enter the kingdom of heaven doing those things. And this scripture always rocks us as we sit in church on Sunday. Why? Why won't you enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus gives us four haunting words. "I never knew you." And when we break that down, what's Jesus saying? What he's saying is that everything you were doing religiously was not in God's will. It was for you. We never had a personal relationship. Your Creator who loves you desires most of all a relationship with you. We never had that. And the most important thing he says is your heart never changed. Religion was here. There was nothing here. Or very little here. For our guests, when you come and say, we have these worship guides, there's these sermon notes on the back that help us outline things here, what we're talking about. And we use this, all of us, we use this to go back and look. I just really encourage you to read this Sermon on the Mount and stay in that scripture in 5, 6, and 7. But let's look at sermon note number 1 together. Looking at what Jesus shared there in the very first part of chapter 7 brings us to this sermon note. It's so easy to profess Christianity, but it's something entirely different to possess it. Jesus was sitting there on the mountain saying, many of you here will say you're religious, but you don't really possess anything, a heart, an obedience. Again, that central theme of heartfelt obedience is what God desires. And what was interesting is he's talking about this 2,000 years ago on a hillside, and most people gathered were struggling with this very issue. Religion was something you did. It wasn't something you are. And in comparison today, if you go out and check Barna, Pew Research, whoever, they'll say that 70% of our nation in America says we are Christian. Still today, people say we're not a Christian nation. Oh yeah, we are, in title. Many people in our nation today profess Christianity. But when you break that number down to look at heartfelt obedience and true fruit in action in somebody's life, that their heart is really changed, that number plummets to 30%. So this same Sermon on the Mount could be happening in this room. It hasn't changed a lot in 2,000 years. So Jesus summarizes, not everyone, as a matter of fact, many will not enter the kingdom of heaven who profess Christianity. And then he uses this really big word in 24, verse 24, therefore. Therefore points back, but aims us forward. You know, they always say when you're reading the Bible, when you see a therefore, you ask what it's there for. And so he summarizes this. And he says, here's how we act. Before you go off this hill today, let me give you an answer. So he summarizes that you have two options when you leave the hillside today. In verses 24 through 27, the whole Sermon on the Mount, whoever is obedient and goes into action, whoever's changed in their heart is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And he describes what happens when you build on a rock foundation. He said the winds will come, streams will rise, the rain will come down, and that house will stand. He said, a wise man is a person who listens to my words and builds his house on the rock. And Jesus is talking about the very words he's been sharing for the last couple days. Then he gives a description. That's one option. The second option is you can be a foolish man. And you can go and build that house, but build it on a foundation of sand. And he said, same things will happen. The rains will come, the rivers will rise, the wind will beat it. And the house will fall with a mighty crash. And when he describes a great crash, that description is complete loss. So what's interesting is he gives us this parable. He says, therefore, before you go off the mountain, pay attention. You can be one of these two people when you leave the hill today. Let's compare these two builders. I got a list here. Let's compare these two builders. What's really interesting is they're almost exactly alike. When we compare the two builders, the first thing is that they shared the same vision. These builders went. They wanted to build a house. They wanted to live life. They wanted to live it right. They wanted to protect their family. They wanted to grow. They both had that same vision. The second thing is they both listened to the same truth. You go back to the scripture. He says, those people who hear my words, both of them heard his word. The same word he was speaking from the hillside. God's word is what he was sharing with us. He said both of them heard those words, so they're the same. And the third thing he said is that they both faced the same exact storms. They faced the rains, they faced the stream swelling and rising and flooding, and they faced the winds beating the house. The only difference between the two builders is the foundation. One built a foundation on stone, which is heartfelt obedience to God and a relationship with him. That's the worldview. The other built on a foundation of sand, which was more about this world. And it shifts and it moves and it's not stable. So the only difference is they built on a whole different worldview, their foundation. And what happens, you know, it's like one built on heartfelt obedience and one built it on the great American dream. That's kind of how it correlates to today. And what happens when you build on a bad foundation? Tony, you want to come up and explain for 20 minutes what happens when you build on a bad foundation? Not that Tony, he's a builder, I'm sorry, not that his religious life is bad, sorry. Tony, I'm not picking you up. When you build on a bad foundation, there's a great crash. And what that description is eternal separation from God. You do not enter the kingdom. It's eternal separation from God. That's what the great crash is. And what's interesting is when we build on bad foundations in our lives, is how much of our lives we spend trying to correct what's going on. When we build on a, we start building on a bad foundation and things start to lean, it's amazing how much work we put in trying to correct the leaning, but that's not the problem is. And so let me give you a real day example. It's an old ancient example, but it still exists today of what this looks like. Many of you have heard of, this is a story of what happens when you build on a bad foundation. So I want to show you a picture of, does anybody know what this picture is? The Tower of Pisa in Italy. This tower was built. It's a bell tower. It was built next to this beautiful, basically, you got a huge church here, and they start building this bell tower. It's a 7-floor, 185-foot bell tower. They start building it in the 12th century, 1100-something. It took them 199 years to build 7 floors. They built 2 floors first, and then a war broke out. And during that time, no more building went on, just two floors. But they already started to see the foundation was bad, and it started to go uneven. And so then what they did is they added the next floors. And what they did is they built the walls heavier on one side to try and shift it as it went. And they went all the way up. Over 199 years, they got to seven floors. Another war stopped it from being built. And then they kept building. They kept adjusting, and they kept building. And they added seven bells in the top of this bell tower. And what is amazing is over centuries, it's still there. That building is 900 years old. And it looks like that today. They've done numerous attempts over all these years to correct the foundation. They have built the walls heavier on one side. They added 800 tons of lead to the high side of the foundation to try and get it to stop sinking. They've taken dirt out from underneath the high side of the foundation, and they gained a few inches on that. They've evacuated local neighboring buildings and stuff because they thought it was going to topple over the years. They have cables tied to the third floor right now, holding it, trying to hold it. It's been closed and reopened, closed and reopened. Today they've done so much corrections, they believe they have bought another 200 years, but it still, every year, shifts 1/20th of an inch. It will topple one day. It'll fall with a great crash, no matter how much they adjust the building. The problem is the foundation. You know what the word pisa means in Italian? Marshy. It's a marshy land. They build on marshy soil. The problem has always been the foundation. So the Tower of Pisa is an actual building with a bad foundation. But Jesus wasn't talking about an actual building. He was talking in the Sermon on the Mount about our spiritual life, which is like a house. And he says we can build on this rock or we can build on sand. The Tower of Pisa was built on sandy soil. So what does building on a foundation of sand look like today? And while this message is for everybody, I want to take advantage of Father's Day to talk to husbands, fathers, and those one day who will be husbands and fathers. I want to show you this list here. I made a short list of what it looks like to build on the sand today. This is kind of in today's context. So here's a list of what it looks like when we're building our house on a sandy foundation. The first thing, more money, less family. A life that's really geared towards, this is what the American dream's like, earning more money, earning more money, earning more money, which takes more time. This is an issue of time. We have a pandemic issue of absentee fatherism in our nation today. Not only through divorce, but also through just dads either at work all the time, but really, really, really absent. Going after that mighty buck because we believe that can give us a strong foundation. Second thing, pursuit of the rat race. The American dream. This is an issue of accumulation and conquest or achievement. This is what drives us. We go, go, go to accumulate more, achieve more, become successful, and conquest. We believe we do that, and we put a lot of effort into that because of there's this beautiful, wrinkle-free life that we're going after. That if we do all this and have all this money and build our house this way spiritually, we'll be safe when the storms come. But we all know how much of a lie that is. And the third reason, or the third sign that we might be building on sand in our spiritual house, is we play church. We play church. This was the issue back then, 2,000 years ago, is that they were doing basically ritualistic spirituality. They felt by doing this, I am this. And Jesus says, I never knew you. And we still play church today. This is an issue of obedience. This is where we're Christian in title, secular in practice. We fail to lead spiritually at home. We don't pray with our family. We don't get into God's word with our family because we're so stuck in time. And so stuck in making a dollar, and so stuck in being successful, thinking all that will actually protect my family. Even we don't have time to serve with the gift that God gives us inside our church. And our church is all of us. And how we serve each other and how we reach others. We don't have enough time for that. And what happens when we build on a foundation like that? It isn't long before it becomes unlevel. And our spiritual house starts to lean. And then we start making corrections to the house. Not the foundation, the house. We start going after quality time, not quantity time. We start to make all these little corrections. I believe if I give my children quality time just a little bit, that'll make up for not having quantity of time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want quality time, you'll find it in quantity time. We use all that money we earn to buy happiness. We buy things to make our family happy, to substitute for the absence. We build. I have one of these, so don't. I'm just not chewing on everybody. We build man caves so we can hide and be in our own world. You know, I just read a fresh survey today for this Father's Day that said most fathers they polled wanted more me time. 11 more hours of me time a week. So we're building man caves where we can go hide because we're too tired because we work so hard. Me time. And we begin to find all these unhealthy ways to keep adjusting our house, but the problem isn't our house. It's our foundation. And our spiritual house continues to lean. It's just kind of waiting for a storm and a wind or the end of our life to make a big crash. And everyone in our house is at risk. But Jesus gives us this life hack. The whole Sermon on the Mount is life hacks. That's why we're having kind of fun with the video. Simple solutions to the problems of life. And so look at sermon note number 2 with me. Here's a life hack that Jesus gives us. He says, build our homes and our church on the rock that lasts forever. He said, start on your foundation, build it right. Simple life hack. Jesus says, build our home on a rock, not sand, and it will last forever. The house won't lean, the storms will come, everybody inside remains safe because of the foundation. And it's a simple hack. It all starts with the foundation. And ladies and gentlemen, this applies to our homes, but it applies to our church home too. It's amazing how we can walk and worship on Sunday and have a sand foundation the rest of the week, and it really impacts the church as much as churches lean and crash when they're built on the wrong foundation. And that's all of us together. That's not a building. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about all of us together. So what does Jesus mean? This is kind of a simple answer. So what does it mean to build on the rock? Well, let's look at sermon note number 3 together. The foundation built on the rock is the one that is built on, there's 3 things. And he talks about them right here. It's first built on God's word. Jesus says, anyone who hears these words of mine, his words are God's words. He says that several times. I say nothing that my Father doesn't say. And it's all written for us in the Bible. God's word, it starts with God's word. Read and hear God's word. It's our guide for life and our purpose. Both parables, they hear my word, but they go and build on one of these two. He said it right there. Starts with his word, God's word. Second is God's mission. A house built on the rock is built on God's word, and it's built on God's mission. This is the action step. When you build on God's word and you have a personal relationship with your Savior and it changes your heart, it moves you to action, which is God's mission. God's mission, Jesus gave us a very simple life hack. Love God, love everyone else. That's a life hack. And that's what happens when your heart is so changed, you go out on his mission. You grow, you learn and disciple so you can disciple. And so we have God's word and we have God's mission. That's heartfelt obedience, is when we move and there's action. And the third, the foundation built on a rock is one that's built on God's Son. The rock is Jesus. He is our foundation. The foundation he's talking about is sitting right in front of him on a hill. I am the foundation. Because what he was going to do in just a short amount of time was die on a cross so our foundation could be rock solid. He connected us back to God by dying for our sin. He gave us hope for eternity because of his death on the cross, which paid for our sin. So we didn't have to do it. That foundation is immovable. And so I'm going to jump out of the scripture just once to a different one in 1 Corinthians 3:11. 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, straw, but on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done." Anyone, you can use whatever you want to build on that foundation, but on that foundation, it is rock solid. Our entire faith centers on one person, that's Jesus. And what's interesting, ladies and gentlemen, is we don't have to build the foundation. It's already built. For God so loved the world, he came to earth and laid a foundation for us to build on. That's rock solid. So wrapping up here, what's so important to understand what Jesus was sharing with them is our current foundation, what we have in this room today, reveals who we really are. Parents, grandparents, fathers, husbands, who we really are impacts our children and our grandchildren. So look at sermon note number 3 with me, and we'll wrap up with this. Our character is revealed by action. Our faith is revealed by storms. Our character is revealed by action. Our faith is revealed by storms. So many people come to church and have no life of action, and that shows their true character. Because the character we're talking about that Jesus describes is a changed heart, heartfelt obedience in relationship. I know you. Because I live for him and he lives in me. So character is that changed heart which results in action. Faith is revealed in many ways, but no way is more revealing than when we're in a storm. That's when our faith really shows. It's not when it's good and easy and smooth sailing. It's when the winds are hitting our house, the water's rising, and it's raining cats and dogs, and we're standing on a strong foundation. We believe in what he did, and we know where we're going. That is faith when the storm's raging around you. So I encourage us all today to take out a level. Go home today and put it on your foundation. Where's the bubble? Is our foundation leaning? Because if our foundation is leaning, our house is going to lean. And our children's house is going to lean. And our grandchildren's house is going to lean. Or is our bubble spot on? Because we're building on the rock. You know what the really cool thing about this story is? The Tower of Pisa, we can't change its foundation. We can keep trying to fix it. It's going to crash. But everybody in this room today can change your foundation right now. You can walk out of here like just like Jesus did on the hillside. When we leave this room today, we have one of two choices. If our house is leaning, we can go fix the foundation and start really being obedient, changing our heart, and following him and living a life of action like that. And watch your house straighten up. Dads, fathers, husbands, this message today is especially for you. You got this. You got this. You can go out and do this today. Get your foundation right today. If you get your foundation right today, I cannot imagine a better Father's Day present. Amen? Amen. Ushers, would you come forward, please, for the offering? And let us bow our heads together at this time of worship. I still want to just bring to attention our current summer budget, which is still in the red, and just encourage you to keep the church in your heart, in that faithful obedience, to give obediently, help us.